Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Let me introduce the panel joining us this weekend. They're Marian Harkin, Minister of State of the Department of Further and Higher Education and Independent TD for Sligo Leitrim. She's in our Sligo studio. Matt Carthy, Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan, his party spokesperson on justice. And George Lawler, Labour TD for Wexford and his party spokesperson on enterprise, tourism and employment. Thanks very much to you all for joining us here this afternoon. Marian Harkin, to you first. We got data, Jackie Fox in the RTE newsrooms, said that to secure data from the Department of Transport and the Department of Foreign Affairs that showed that approximately 2,000 flights carrying munitions stopped at Irish airports over the course of 3 years. Now, we don't know that how many of those had a final destination after an initial stop of Israel, for example, or if any did at all. But do you accept it's a concern? And given that the government has now called what's been perpetrated in Gaza a genocide, that there's a further onus on the government to make sure what the final destination of these flights are?
Well, good afternoon, Colm, and listening to what was said earlier, it just adds to the, I suppose, the heartache and the heartbreak and the pain in the pit of your stomach, seeing what's happening and just asking what you can do about it. So I suppose really that's what the first part of this programme is about. What can we do that will actually make a difference, that mightn't just look good, but they will actually do good. So coming back to your question on flights there, between 2022 and 2024, there were almost 1,000 flights by US civil air operators carried out technical stops in Ireland, carrying US military personnel. In all cases, the munitions of war carried were unloaded, personal issues of weapons to US military personnel. So no ammunition was carried on these flights. Look, it's a difficult issue. And all I can say at the moment is that work is continuing on examining the allegations around some of the flights that came through Shannon. But I can't provide a definitive time frame because I know the Department of Transport is making every effort to complete its examination in as timely a manner as possible. Right. And these were the flights.
It's been going on about 9 months now.
Yes, it has. I'll agree with that. But the truth is that if you go back to the Chicago Convention, that you can only ask questions if you have reason to believe that the flights might be carrying ammunition.
Okay. Well, we're also signed up to the Genocide Convention, though, and that obliges states to act. There have been several flights have passed through Irish airspace, even the ones that don't land, where the Vredesachte, the Flemish NGO, and the Ditch website have managed to secure cargo bills, which they've forwarded on to government, saying that planes passing through Irish airspace on their way to the Middle East are going to pass through Irish airspace, and alerting the government to this. So do you accept that more could be done?
Well, I accept that if those allegations have been made, they absolutely must be examined, because we have to do everything we can as a government, as a people, to not be complicit in what is happening. So allegations can be made, but the responsibility of government then is to investigate those allegations to see if there's truth in them, and if there is, to act upon them.
And do you know if any of those FedEx bills or the likes that have been forwarded to government by the Ditch website have prompted any form of investigation? And if so, how far we are from the conclusion of that investigation?
I can't tell you how far we are from the conclusion, but the Department of Transport is saying it's making every effort to complete its examination in as timely a manner as possible. And we all want to see that, because none of us want to be in the position that people can say that the Irish government is somehow complicit in this shocking, shocking genocide that is happening in Gaza. I mean, it's not just me saying it. The Taoiseach, the Taoiseach, ministers of government are saying it. We understand what's happening. So absolutely, a timely investigation is crucial, and that is something I'm pushing for.
Matt Carthy, your party had a bill before the House this week on the the central bank's role in approving prospectuses. We will get to that. But on the specific issue of flights, what should the government be doing if it's not in a position to inspect flights? Should it be barring all military air flights through Irish airspace as a kind of a belt and braced a safety measure, or should it allow them through and have a more robust inspection regime?
So a couple of things. First, just to commend Liam Cunningham for his own activism. To be quite frank, I don't care that he endorsed people before profit in the last election. I don't see it as being relevant necessarily, despite the fact that they're political opponents of mine. He's doing the right thing, and we should be proud of him and all those Irish people who have been
at the forefront.
That's
by way of information to the listener rather than a judgment on his stance.
No, that's fair enough. In respect of where the Irish government are at, and with due respect to Marion, yes, they've said the right things on a number of occasions, some cases far too slowly. I was involved in negotiations with the first motion that came before the Dáil after the October the 7th atrocities, and it took quite a bit of pressing to get the government at that point to agree that the word ceasefire be included in that Dáil resolution. Thankfully it was, and since then the Irish government have been rhetorically in the right place, but they can't point to a single meaningful action that they have taken, other than, I would contend, the signing up to the ICJ case in respect of
recognition
the genocide
of the state of Palestine.
I think that was important. We shouldn't have needed what has been happening in Palestine for that to happen. The Dáil had 10 years previously adopted the position of recognising the state of Palestine. Unfortunately, our government waited to a point where there's virtually no Palestine left to recognise before we formally did that. But in terms of sanction,
on the airspace thing, like, what's the single practical preventative measure that Ireland could be taking on this?
See, the government has put itself in a bind, and this goes back 25 years when government agreed to this nod and wink approach where we'd allow US troops to stop off at Shannon, despite knowing that either that would be directly or facilitatory assistance of the war in Iraq. And it was this part of this nod and wink approach to undermining Irish neutrality.
That?
Absolutely. I think we have to. And that will be diplomatically challenging for government. But that points to the challenges of making decisions on one particular point in time without recognising what the implications could be.
And
the debate around removing the triple lock neutrality protection should be guided by the experience of that, that position.
Just to be absolutely clear before I move on to George, your position would be that the Shannon Airport should be denied to all US military flights and any civilian flights that are carrying any forms of munitions for these so-called technical stops, and should any aircraft flying through Irish airspace carrying any kind of weapons be refused access to Irish airspace if they seek permission for that?
If neutrality is to mean anything, then we have to ensure that not only are we saying the right things in relation to genocides that may be occurring and that are actually occurring in Gaza as we speak, but it has to mean that we would only allow weapons or ammunition or other military apparatus to enter into our sovereign airspace or land at our sovereign airports unless we are absolutely insured and assured that it is not going to be part of any ongoing conflict. That's what neutrality should mean. Unfortunately, as I say, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have watered down the meaning of neutrality to render it virtually meaningless. Okay. And I think part of the bind that government are in now, where they're refusing to take any measures in response to what's happening in Gaza, is down to the fact that we have enwrapped ourselves within a NATO framework that makes it difficult for them. But I think we have to take difficult decisions at this point in time.
US troops out in any and all circumstances, and weapons on a case-by-case basis, and only in situations where we can assure ourselves that they won't end up in a conflict.
It gives me no pleasure to say it, considering the positive role that the US played in the Irish peace process. But make no mistake about it, you cannot look at what is happening to the children in Gaza and remove it from the decisions that are being made in the White House and in Congress, because the genocide that is happening and the attacks on virtually every single international humanitarian law would not be possible without the facilitation of the US administration, and therefore it is entirely inappropriate that we would be facilitating troops of that state to land in our airports.
And I'm sorry to cut across you, but it's just you're covering ground you covered before. Are you happy though that what I've said there is an accurate summation of what you were saying? In any and all circumstances, US troops barred from Shannon, weaponry on a case-by-case basis and only allowed where they don't end up in a war, in an active conflict?
Yes, in respect of Shannon, and in respect of weapons crossing our airspace, we need to shift the onus. At the moment it is, there has to be this doubt that the whether or not the weapons, there should be no, that we, there should be an assumption that they are being involved in a conflict and therefore not allowed to enter Irish airspace.
And a special case be made, and it would be proving that they're not.
The onus would be on the aircraft owners to prove that if they have weapons, that they're being used for some benign reasons that I can't fathom what that might be at
this
clear. Point.
George Lawler, what should the Irish government be doing specifically now that the government says what's happening in Gaza is a genocide? What do they need to do specifically with relation to air traffic through Ireland?
Well, I think, you know, with all due respect to Marion Harkin, who is now essentially part of the government, given that the US are the biggest seller of arms to Israel, the notion that 2,000 flights carrying armaments through Shannon would not be carrying armaments destined to the war in Israel, I think is fanciful at best, and naive and fanciful. I mean, it's clear, and we've seen the cargo bills presented to us from the commercial airlines that indicate that there are armaments on board. And the notion that we would think that, oh, well, these are not going to Israel, these are not being part of the genocide.
There have been planes that have flown through Irish airspace where weapons are bound for Israel. But in terms of planes landing at Shannon, to date, there is no demonstrable evidence that any plane has stopped in Ireland that has then transported weaponry onto Israel. There has been proof that it's gone back in the other direction, but not going to Israel. So what should the government be doing to assure itself of that and prevent it?
Well, as I say, the cargo bills that have been provided indicate that there are munitions and weaponry on board. But, I mean, the notion that we would have a Taoiseach and a Taoiseach who would turn around and tell us that what's happening in Gaza and to the Palestinian people is genocide, and then not act in a serious way with whatever measures are required to ensure that Ireland's role in that is not to facilitate. And I think, you know, yes, in the current circumstances, we have to ask very, very serious questions and demand very serious action in relation to any munitions, any armaments, any personnel that are deemed to play any role in that genocide. I mean, there is an obligation now that they have declared it to be genocide for the Irish government to take a very, very serious stand on this. And we haven't to date. We've done some fine things that have been symbolic, and we've had have fine words. But the actions haven't been demonstrably to bring cessation to this.
Okay. Marion Harkin, I'm going to come back to you on this, and I'll allow you to answer some of the things that have been said.
Yes, I'd like to, please.
You know, absolutely. But I do want to play you something here. Sir Geoffrey Nice is a King's Counsel. He prosecuted Slobodan Milosevic in The Hague. And he lays out what the obligations are on a state when it comes to genocide, when in the estimation of a state there is a genocide occurring. Now, a lot of the things the government have laid out to date are things they are already doing or things that were in train. But since the middle of this week, the government has declared what's going on in Gaza is a genocide. Here's what Geoffrey Nice says the obligations are.
It is for governments to say whether genocide is happening. And if genocide is happening, to act. No government wants to use the word. There are examples in Rwanda where governments insisted that the word wasn't used in order that troops could be withdrawn and 100,000 deaths could follow, because they were advised if you use the word, you have to act.
Oh, sorry, there's a legal obligation on other governments to act if they can see a genocide unfolding.
There's a worldwide duty to act. And our present government, and of all colours since 1971, say, oh, you need a judge. Nonsense. And here's the reason it's nonsense, with a simple example. You walk down a street, there's a door open, there's a man hitting his wife over the head with a rolling pin so that she may die. You say, oh, that's interesting, I must get a judge in to look at that. No, you go in and stop it. And those who drafted the Genocide Convention knew that unless force, not necessarily physical force or pressure was used, genocides don't stop themselves. So if there is the fear of or suspicion of genocide, it's governments who've got to say, yes, this is or may be a genocide. We must stop it.
Right. As I said, Marion Harker, that was Sir Geoffrey Nye speaking to the BBC's Evan Davis. A lot of the actions, as I said, is outlined by government to date, predate the declaration by the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach that's what's happening in Gaza is a genocide. So what additional action can be expected from the Irish government in order to prevent what's going on?
Well, the first thing I want to say is we had a Labour motion on Gaza. I said this to George this week. The government fully accepted it. Also, we see that the Occupied Territories Bill, a memo was brought to government, and we are in the process of putting that on our statute books. But, you know, we also have done many other things. And I know some of you, you say some of them predate the statement. But recognising the state of Palestine a year ago, when many countries didn't, was really important. And we also forget that, for example, UNRWA, the UN aid agency in Gaza, when there was issues around that, Ireland stood firm when many countries moved to defund it, and Ireland said that would not happen. Since February of last year, we are calling for the suspension of the EU-Israel trade agreement. And I have to say, personally, I called for it in November 2023. I'd say the first politician in Ireland to do so because I knew it had to be done.
Okay.
Ireland started out with Spain. We have now got to the point where there are 17 countries at least supporting a review. As I said, the Occupied Territories Bill is now moving forward. Ireland called for a ceasefire before other countries.
Sure.
But Colin, this is important. The impression is given that Ireland is doing nothing, sitting back, whereas in fact we are leading on a global basis.
And what I'm asking you, Marion Harkin, specifically is all of the actions you've outlined so far were committed to, in the case of the Occupied Territories Bill, before even going into the general election by your partners in government. That was all signed up to when what the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach were describing what was going on in Gaza were war crimes and a humanitarian disaster. They have now crossed into calling it a genocide. So I'm asking what additional action is going to be taken on foot of that analysis?
Well, the first thing is to make sure that the proposals we have in place around the EU-Israel trade agreement, that we just move that forward and, as I said, enact the Occupied Territories Bill. I mean, we are leading on this globally. Nobody can question that. What more can be done? Look, we are giving greater levels of aid to Palestine than we did before. And, of course, everybody is just so frustrated, so annoyed, so angry. But if we look at, for example, what happened in the Dáil this week about the Israeli bonds, and we were asked to approve a piece of legislation that, when I saw it first, I said to my colleagues in government, why don't we do this? It sounds as if this might mean something. But when I spent several days going through the detail of this, I could see that what was proposed would have no effect. Because even if Ireland were to do all of the things that were asked in this bill, two things were still outstanding. Number one, any other central bank in Europe could approve those bonds. But secondly,
do you accept, Marion Harkin, though, that's like saying any other rugby team could go and play in South Africa. It's not going to stop a match going ahead, but it just wouldn't be the Irish team playing.
In order to stop the sale of those bonds in the EU, and that was the purpose of this legislation, that's what Piers Doherty told us, this legislation that was proposed by Sinn Féin would not do that. But crucially, Colin, the single most important point here is that the central bank responded to the committee that they spoke to last October about the fact that these bonds are for sale on websites. Go on your phone, go on your laptop, and you will find that these bonds are for sale, and not through approval by the Irish Central Bank, but through approval by the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US. So no matter what we did in this, we wouldn't achieve anything. It might have made it sort of looked good, but we wouldn't have done good.
I want to go to Matt Carthy on this because it was his party proposed the legislation during the week. Matt Carthy, you got advice from the Office of the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. They said the legislation you put forward wouldn't be immune to legal challenge. But in brief, what did you set out to do and why do you believe it would have been effective where Marion Harkin says it wouldn't have been?
So I was struck when we were talking about the upcoming flotilla because I was thinking about the flotilla in 2010, which shows that this issue goes way beyond the 7th of October 2023. And I remember at that time people saying Israel is going to keep doing what it's doing until the world forces to stop. Actually, that statement was incorrect because what Israel did wasn't just keep doing what it was doing at that point, which was maintaining an occupation, apartheid regime and a blockade of Gaza. They've actually got much, much more savage and barbaric in terms of what they've done to the point that we are at now, where we're watching a genocide unfold before our eyes. And the principle remains the same. They will keep doing. In fact, they will keep getting worse in their actions until the world forces them to stop. Will Ireland on their own force them to stop? Absolutely not. But what we need to do is take meaningful action. And one meaningful action, and it might be small on the overall scale of things, but I think it would be an important meaningful action, is to ensure that our central bank is not facilitating the sale of Israeli bonds. And that's not to suggest that others won't pick up, but others would have a moral question to answer if they decided to do that. I think the moral question to answer is now with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the independents who are supporting them. And I'm because, you know, in fairness, I recognise that Marion is a minister of state. She's operating in a government. So I have to say I would have much more respect for her if she were to say, look, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are doing their usual thing, dragging their heels on any meaningful action, and it's difficult and we're trying to move them into the right position. Instead, she's defending what I consider to be the absolute indefensible. Government haven't made any effort of taking a meaningful action.
I'll get to George Lawler in a moment. I do need to let Marion Harkin
really
respond to that.
I come back to that because when I saw this legislation first, my immediate reaction was, why don't we do this? But it was only when I spent...
Did you accept that the bonds being sold are funding the war? Because the website that you mentioned, it says the israelbonds.com, says Israel has raised $54 billion in global investments, including nearly $5 billion since the war began. And the Israeli president, Isaac Herzog, he rallied for unwavering support for the Jewish state and emphasises the crucial role of Israeli bonds during this time of conflict and war. So you mean you accept what these bonds are partially funding?
I do. I'd have said that 2 minutes ago to you. What I'm saying is that if we move in this direction, number one, we will be going against EU law.
No, we won't.
And number two, even if we did it, and even if we were successful, another central bank in Europe definitely would approve them. But apart from all that, they are available on your phone right now to buy.
Okay,
so we would spend all this effort.
Do you accept there would be additional moral pressure on the next institution that would be approving the prospectus, as Matt Carthy was saying there?
There might or might not be, depending on that institution. But the point is, where does the Irish government push its effort into trying to do something that sort of looks good instead of doing good?
Trying to make
a difference in many of the actions
we are taking.
We wouldn't be having this discussion.
Okay. On that point, the practical effect, George.
Well, interestingly, Gillian Toole, another government supporting TD, said that no detailed briefing in regard to these bonds was received from government about the impact on EU legislation. So I'm listening with interest to Marion's point on it. I mean, it all, if we return to the likes of the Dunn Stores workers and the impact that their non-handling of South African goods had on the beginning of the attacks on the apartheid regime by a small group of Irish workers. I mean, this action and the Sinn Féin Restrictive Financial Measures Bill would have been a serious knock to the international reputation of Israel. I mean, the funds that are made by these bonds are for the benefit of the Israeli state, of which a massive amount of that money goes in to destroying the state of Palestine and attacking the Palestinian men, women and children. So this would have been, from an optics point of view alone, a major hit to the Israeli war ego and the Israeli war machine. And let other countries, okay. let Ireland play its part or not.
Okay, you know? I do want to ask though, and this is, you know, a question to all of you. Ireland didn't succeed in getting a review of the association agreement with Israel. Holland did, and Holland was being perceived as being more conciliatory towards Israel, and that was seen as one of the key factors in the diplomacy that led to them building a bigger coalition than Ireland. Matt Carthy, do you accept that sometimes what people do for symbolic and the effect of public diplomacy may undermine the actual diplomatic effect, as in the case of Holland, who got further than Ireland and Spain?
What should have happened, if we want to go back far enough, is that Ireland shouldn't have ratified the EU-Israel Association Agreement in the first place, knowing as we did for decades that Israel was in gross violation of international law.
Sure, but there
is a difficulty across. I was in the European Parliament along with Marion. I visited Palestine with a group of MEPs in 2014 after the most recent at that stage attacks on Gaza, including the murder of four young boys who were kicking a football on a beach.
I don't think anybody doubts your credentials, but the specific question, during that
attack on Gaza, EU-funded structures had actually been bombed to smithereens by Israel.
Sure. There was a resolution, but let me just make this point. I did ask you a question that sometimes the public stance of a country affects its diplomatic ability to build coalitions. The Dutch were more successful in building a coalition than Ireland, and their language had been heretofore more conciliatory towards Israel. Does Ireland need to look at its strategic approach in terms of the long-term aims when it's taking symbolic actions?
And perhaps at the end of the day, when every child in Gaza has starved to death, and everybody across the world will say, yes, actually, we should adopt a Simon Harris watered-down version of the Occupied Territories Bill. The truth of the matter is that what's happening in Gaza is happening today. Action is required today. It's actually was required long ago throughout this genocide in Gaza, and every single time that meaningful action has been put forward, there has been an excuse for coming from Fine Gael and people like Marion. Do we
seriously believe that any sort of conciliatory approach to Netanyahu and his regime is going to have any impact? It has failed miserably today, with 55,000 people slaughtered. We have hundreds of tons of aid on the border with Gaza, and people are starving to death 100 metres away, and no aid is allowed through. Do we really honestly believe that because the Dutch were successful and Holland was successful?
They've secured a review.
I mean, Irish government didn't even secure a reply to their request.
Do we appeal to the care and compassion of Benjamin Netanyahu, an evil force who is presiding over a state who are complicit in genocide that our government, our Taoiseach and Taoiseach, have already called out, and now appear to be watering down everything, including the occupied territory?
Marion Harkin, yeah.
Look, Gillian said she had no detailed briefing. I had three detailed briefings. I spent days reading this, all the documentation around it, because my immediate instinct was, why don't we do this? And when I recognised
Did you get that because you're a minister?
Well, perhaps one or two of them. But nobody sat up with me at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning when I was reading documents as to the legislation itself, the discussion in the committee on this on the 9th of October.
I don't think you need a detailed briefing to understand that there's slaughter going on in Israel.
Marion Harkin didn't interrupt you, so let's just let her finish out.
Right.
I don't need a detailed briefing on that. We all know it. My heart breaks just as much as yours. But what I'm saying is, I looked at this very carefully, and if I thought for one minute that passing this piece of legislation would make an actual difference, that's how I would have voted.
Okay.
But I didn't. And because, you know, there's no point in saying other people voted in a different way. What
All right,
I want
okay.
to see
What's
is a
disappointing,
review
Marion,
of
is
the
it,
EU
if this was 12
Israel
months ago and you were in opposition,
agreement.
You would have supported that.
What I wanted to see is EU-Israel trade agreement
All right, okay,
being suspended.
And
I was the first TD to ask for it in Leinster House nearly 18 months ago.
Okay, we are out of time on this item. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the latest homelessness figures and look at the state of play with ramping up the labour supply in the construction sector with apprentices and the trouble that's in at the moment.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.